Welcome to the Life at Fenestra podcast. This is a podcast where we speak with the people, the humans behind Fenestra. We'll be speaking with the wonderful folks that make up the incredible global team here at Fenestra and what makes them unique not just to the company, but to the world. My name is Goran and I'm the video producer for Employer Brand, and I'll be your go-to guy for this podcast. We spoke with Swati, who is the COO of Universal Banking here at Fenestra. We spoke about her career spanning 20 plus years, where she has led major transformational projects, working in various industry sectors, her passions outside of work. We reflected on the psychological aspects of identity, the importance of doing good work, building relationships, and building trust and taking risks. I always learn something new when I talk to different folks from the organization, and this was no different. So here's the amazing conversation that I had with Swati. Okay, welcome to Swati. Thank you for joining us on Life at Fenestra podcast. Swati is the Chief Operating Officer of Universal Banking. And you've been here for 7 years now. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I am Swati Parthasarathy, and as you mentioned, I'm currently the Chief Operating Officer at Fenestra for Universal Banking. So our business unit basically caters to the financial sector, providing core banking solutions and digital solutions and several other ancillary solutions that come with it. I've been with Fenestra for 7 years, based out of Toronto, Canada.
Yep.
Prior to Fenestra, I actually worked with quite a few organizations in different roles. BlackBerry, yeah. IBM, Fidelity, yeah. So wow. Done a few others. Did my own consulting as well for a bit.
Nice.
7 years and counting. But it's never felt like being in the same organization.
Right.
It just is like different jobs in different companies.
Yes.
Again, with the evolution of the company and the changes and so on and so forth, right? Academically, I'm an engineer.
Interesting.
Went on to do my master's in business at University of Toronto.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about this. Normally when you say, who are you?
Yeah.
I was listening to this podcast from Adam Grant. I don't know if you know Adam Grant.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
So he says that psychologically, we generally tend to talk about our title, or who we are in terms of what we do for a living and et cetera. But not really think about, there's more to it than just work and, stuff
yes,
like that.
Yes, 100%.
So a little bit more about myself is I love reading.
Yep.
I read all kinds of stuff, but what really gets me is books that challenge my thinking.
Okay.
So trying to understand how human mind works.
Yes.
Organizational behavior and teamwork and stuff like that. So it's pretty intriguing for me. Aside from that, I carve out time pretty regularly, 4 hours a week, to practice dance. I'm a dancer.
Okay.
Keeps me sane.
Yeah.
Sort of my lifeline.
Yeah.
And then I think my favorite summertime activity is getting in some motorbike rides when I can, when the sun is bright and the weather is great. So that's a little bit about me.
Why don't we start at your story so far? So I guess what's led you to this point where you are today? Like why are you in the position that you're in, right? What has made you want to do that? What was your motivation? And I guess how have you come here?
Happy to share. So I've been in the industry for over 20 plus years and worked across various industry sectors, like I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud about my achievements and the journey so far. So again, when I think back, I started as an individual contributor right after graduation. Out of school, went on to handle a team, basically handling some back office operations, and it was a paralegal team basically. So that's when I was first kind of exposed to how processes and operations basically work, and I was fascinated by the fact that having the right process, the right people, and the right systems can get you the real good outcomes. So I really dove deep into that. I went on to get my Six Sigma Black Belt certification, which means
oh my goodness,
I was like the process expert.
Yeah.
And then moved on to handle some real major transformational projects. I even did the SAP implementation at BlackBerry. Went on to handle certain other complex ones, like I did a lighthouse of projects helping BlackBerry transform when they were trying to transition from the hardware to being a software business.
Yeah.
So that was pretty intriguing, pretty intense time, but you know, great a lot. Like... Yeah, lots of learning.
Yeah.
And then moved to D&H. And in 2015, it was D&H.
Yeah.
So I actually joined the finance team to help our then CFO transform the organization. Again, it was a massive undertaking, but really rewarding as well.
Yeah.
I was recognized. I was a recipient of the CEO Award, which was really great. Then moved on to doing a divestiture of a Canadian business, so a little bit of the M&A side of things.
Yep.
And then leading a Canadian business unit, our Czech manufacturing.
Yep.
And now the chief operating officer. So yeah, it's been quite a journey, but I will say I moved through the ranks really quickly, and I attribute that to three main things, I think, in my journey. One, do whatever it is, no matter how small the job is, do really good.
Yep.
That helps to build relationships, trust, and of course confidence too, because it doesn't matter what the job is, just get it done really well.
Yep.
The second thing is being open to change.
Yeah.
So being open to change, as tough as it is, because everyone would like certainty and, you know,
the
norm of life and et cetera. But change does bring opportunities.
Yeah.
It does open doors for many other things. And it pushes you out of the comfort zone, but it does open up a lot of opportunities.
Of course. Yeah.
So staying open and embracing change was another key thing in my journey. And then I would say, last but not least, is just staying hungry for more.
Yes.
You know, just always keep the flame burning.
Yep.
So it does push you out of the comfort zone, but it helps you find the new normal.
Yes.
Which then becomes your comfort zone.
Yes, 100%. And I think I really like that, especially that last one you just said, like always hungry for more. Because I think if we're not constantly searching for something, the next thing to do, I know we can get into a sometimes toxic cycle of, well, is the next thing to do what I really want to do? I think that can often sometimes be dangerous. But if we're kind of pushing ourselves and making sure that we're doing the things that take us out of our comfort zone and I guess make us really kind of think about and not criticize, but critique the way we do things, that in itself brings about good change sometimes.
Of course. And you know what? You shouldn't be afraid to fail, because that's just part of the learning.
100%.
And take the risk and you get the rewards.
100%. So I want to ask you a question. So you kind of mentioned you were, I guess, an engineer by, you know, academically. What caused that shift from engineering to finance? Like what was the thinking there?
Well, so finance was just where I started in D&H. And literally at that point, I have done pretty much all facets of business, starting from, you know, training to operations to M&A to, you know, strategic, you know, operations and so on and so forth. So finance was just, you know, a business group that I was helping out with in terms of the transformation that they wanted me to lead.
Yeah.
And from a process point of view, when you look at it outside in, you're really getting in, don't have to know everything, because that's what you have the smart people around you for, the experts in the in the group.
Yeah.
All you're trying to do is get to a common goal and navigate everybody towards that common goal.
Yeah, right, man, that makes sense. Okay, so let me shift the gear a little bit here. Let's talk about your role. There's another question I want to ask you about you, but we'll come back to that in a second. But let's talk about kind of, you know, we talked about one of your things was adapting, right? And being open to change. I think one of the things that I find really interesting about these conversations is that, especially people who have been here before the merger, right? How things have changed and how you've perceived them in terms of, you know, you go through different people, right? You know, different CFO, different CEO, all that kind of stuff. Like, how do you adapt to something like that? And how have you seen that change? And how has that affected your trajectory?
Yeah, so lots of changes
just
even in the time that I've been here. So when I joined, as I mentioned, it was, you know, D&H.
Yeah.
And we went from being a North America-centric company. Of course, we were going through acquisitions.
Mm.
So what started as a Czech manufacturing company was growing through acquisitions to kind of position itself as a software company. And then the merger with Mysis happened to form Finastra, which again, I think is a fantastic pivot in the organization history, I will say. Mm. And with that comes a lot of changes, change in leadership, change in organization structure, the way in which we have been operating and, you know, managing things day to day, a lot of changes. So I'll say in the 7 years, to me personally, it feels like I've been with four different companies. And I think that's what keeps it really fun and interesting. And yes, as much as the leadership and et cetera changes, I think it's so important for the evolution of Finastra even. When we think back, when the merger happened, our first three-year strategy was the Mission 2021, which is basically simplify the business. And it was crucial because you're getting two best of the companies together. So how do you keep the best of the two worlds? And from there, we went on to the next three-year strategy, which was Reach Beyond. And that was all about things like, you know, let's rationalize our product portfolio. Because again, it's how do we simplify and how do we bring in meaningful solutions and services and products to our customers? And how do we become number one? So, you know, being a global provider, it's so crucial to kind of think of these things. That becomes just part of the evolution of the company, of the people within the company and et cetera. So, yeah, embracing this change is so crucial to grow with the organization.
And so I think what you said, very interesting, that you mentioned kind of the people, right? That we, there's so much that goes on. I mean, there's what, almost, there's over 10,000 of us in this company. And I think there's so much that goes on. Like, you kind of come into the office and it feels like every time I come in and there's someone that I haven't met before.
Yes.
And it's like, well, I've been here since, you know, January of last year now. And it's like, well, there's always something going on. There's always someone that you've never seen before. Everybody's instrumental at something, right? And I think that's what makes this place so interesting for me is seeing that okay, well, this person is responsible for this is like, even for yourself, you know, as an example, like I didn't even know, you know, I guess this is the first time we've met,
yes,
right? And I think that for me makes it so interesting, like getting to know these people from like so many different backgrounds, from a global play, like me and, you know, when I had this episode, Reagan, you know, one of the things we spoke about was when the company turned into a global organization, you introduce all sorts of people, you introduce all sorts of cultures, the way people work, all these sorts of things. And that's what makes this an interesting place to work, is because, like you said, every day is definitely different.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about, I mean, let's talk about the state of the world in terms of how the shift, I guess, very specifically recently, how the shift in these global markets and even the economy, how has that impacted your role, and how has it made you, again, you know, one of your facets of life, if you will, you know, be open to change? Like, how has that impacted your role?
I'll put on a different lens here.
Okay.
I'll put on my business hat.
Yeah, go on.
And when we talk about global shifts, I think I would be remiss if I don't talk about COVID, which has been such a major shift in all of our lives in so many different ways. Yeah. I would say from a business lens, it was a bit of a transformation overnight, I will say, for businesses, customers, employees, organizations in many, many different ways. Literally, we had to think about how are we going to continue running the business, cater to our customers, manage the expectation of the customers and our employees.
Yep.
And we didn't have a playbook.
Yeah.
So we had to figure it out, and we did, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah.
So make the most of, you know, a crisis.
Yes.
Don't let it go waste.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, it's also about some of the figuring out does involve bringing in people, managing the expectations, whether be it customers, partners, or our own employees.
Yeah.
It was a difficult time going through COVID. And, you know, at that time, I was basically heading up the Canadian business unit, the Czech manufacturing unit. Yeah. And as you'd imagine, a manufacturing site, people have to be there on site to print the checks.
Yeah.
So there was no working from home.
Yeah.
There were contractual obligations that, you know, did not allow for people to work from home. So it was being on site.
Yeah.
Amidst the thick of things and being there with the team, trying to manage how we navigate through, you know, the various restrictions, rules, et cetera, that were going on. So it's just fascinating how it all turns out. And, you know, being able to continue managing the performance of the team and the business and meeting the customer expectations, I think we did a splendid job there.
Yeah.
There are many other global shifts. I mean, day in and day out, we see many of those. I mean, most recently, we have seen in the financial sector with the SVB Bank and, you know, some of the ups and downs that we are still facing as a result of that. So there are many shifts. But then when you look at it from a business angle, I think the common, the bottom line is you continue to run the business and continue to cater to the customers and manage the employee expectations.
And I think that's such a difficult thing as an organization to kind of try and address and overcome, right? Like there's so much thinking that goes into it. Like, okay, well, it's not just the business side of things that we need to address. Now it's the people. Like, how do you address the people? Right? Like, how do you deal with that? So I think it's so interesting to look at it from a business lens, right? And see, okay, well, we need money coming in, right? So how's that going to go? So no, I understand that. And I think it's so fascinating to see how organizations, the way I like to describe it is, when you see a restaurant that survived through COVID, it makes you think how good that restaurant actually was, right? It's like, it must have been really good to actually survive COVID, nobody going into the restaurant, like having takeouts only, man, that, you know, it's always a good sign of a company or an organization, a restaurant, that it survived through something as difficult as COVID. So 100%. Okay, let me shift back to you a bit. In terms of, let's talk about challenges, because we all know we face challenges on a daily basis. And so I think specifically for you, just kind of talking to you and seeing your outlook on life even professionally, like, I think it's very interesting. Can you talk about some of the challenges that you've experienced? Because this is going to be interesting for me to kind of hear now, because you seem so like positive and you have... You seem to have a solution for things, right? So I want to know.
I try.
I want to know some of the challenges that you've encountered. And
of course.
I guess, how have you overcome them? Like, and how has that impacted not who you are professionally, but as Swati, as a person?
Yeah, for sure. Happy to share. There are several, but I think I'll...
Please, we're all the time.
I'll pick a couple or maybe a few that I will share with you. So... Yeah. Looking back, career journey, I've already shared with you my journey so far. Biases, I think, is one of the key things that all of us deal with day in and day out.
Yep.
It's something you don't want to handle, but you can't really get away from it, whether be it at an individual level or more broadly. So having worked in different cultures, different regions, and et cetera, I think for me, one of the key learnings was biases such as gender biases, culture biases, and even age. You know, growing up, like even my parents got me into school earlier than what I should. So I was often the youngest in the group. And I find, you know, me being the youngest amongst my peers as well, sometimes it's kind of in your mind, like, okay, so how am I dealing with the situation? How am I coming across? So these are some of the questions that I think we all just talk in our heads. But overcoming that is going to be key to kind of look at, well, everybody is going to be talking in their head, so let's focus on the matter.
Yep.
Knowledge and trust and relationships and getting the job done.
Yep.
I kind of tend to put that into those categories. And what's crucial is really kind of understanding that, yes, people are going to have different perspectives and backgrounds are different. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked a little bit about the culture and the gender biases. Yeah. Again, different regions, different cultures. Yeah. It's just ingrained in the culture. So knowing that helps to navigate through those challenges. So let me talk about the relationship side a little bit. You know, having done the different roles and roles such as where you're handling a transformation project, dealing with executives and different levels and, you know, teams that are not really reporting into you, but you got to manage and get the job done.
Yeah.
What's crucial there is the relationship aspect and the trust.
Yeah.
And I'll point back to, you know, when I took on the role as the leader for the Czech manufacturing. Average tenure in there was nearly about 25 years. So, again, crucial as a new leader coming in, how do you gain the trust? Because oftentimes people are, again, not very comfortable with change. And every time there's a leadership change, people do expect that things are not going to be the same and some of the status quo is going to be challenged and et cetera. So really working to develop those relationships and trust. It's not easy, but it's absolutely something that does help in the long run. And I'm so proud, like, when I got into the Czech business, there were, the team is very well set, lots of great people, lots of great knowledge and talent and et cetera, but helping channel that to get the best outcome for not just our employees, but the business and the customers is also crucial. And oftentimes as leaders, you know, one of the key things I will say is as we keep navigating through the business changes and et cetera, looking into identifying talent and really developing talent is going to be crucial because you want to create the leaders that can actually transcend the positive impact through the organization, in the community, globally, and you can't be there everywhere.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
how do you create that?
Yeah.
And how do you have the leaders kind of transcend that further is going to be so important. But with that, the flip side is also that you have to be able to make some tough calls, which is not easy. It's challenging, but you know, identifying where and how quickly you need to make those decisions are also important to manage the business side of things.
And if, when you mentioned, like, you know, people who've been here for 25 years or whatever it is, that in itself, I can't imagine. Like, if you're so set on the way things are, and you have someone who's brand new to the company or even brand new to the you know the organization
team,
to the team, like. I can imagine how difficult, or I'm not going to use the word volatile, but like how difficult that situation could be to even be welcomed, right? So yeah, like that, I can't imagine that was a, that was an easy a task that you were given. So let's talk about Finastra for a second. So I'm not going to talk about how great Finastra is again. Like I think I did that in one of the previous episodes. So that's fine. But I want to know from your perspective, right? So first, let's talk about if you were describing Finastra to someone who doesn't know Finastra, is what would you say is like the unique selling point of this place?
I would say the unique selling point is the people, the culture, and the opportunities. And here's why I would say that.
Yeah.
I've been here for 7 years, and I've seen the organization evolve.
Yes.
And I will say that the employee engagement and the care for people over these, even just last 7 years, despite all of the changes with respect to org structure and, you know, leadership and et cetera, we're fortunate enough that the senior leadership, you know, all the way from Simon and the rest of the ELT and et cetera, the changes that they have brought kind of speaks to the care for people.
Yeah.
And it's by leaps and bounds over the years that we have continued to do more and engage people more. So when you talk about the culture, I mean, I'm sure you've heard about and seen some of the comments and the videos and et cetera that we have been propagating through Finastra and even to the outside world in terms of we've got people who are doing their second innings at Finastra.
Yeah.
That speaks something.
Yeah.
We have people who leave for good reasons. You know, life has to go on.
Yeah, of course.
But they become ambassadors of Finastra. Yeah. That speaks a lot.
Yeah.
Our culture is, you know, I should say, so contagious that you tend to kind of, just to your point about, you know, you meet new people, it's new roles, it's changes, but it keeps you going. It gives you the opportunities.
Yeah.
And just within my team, like when I talk about my services and support organizations, the average tenure in that team is close to about 15 years, right? So that again speaks volumes about why people stay with Finastra.
Yeah.
It's because of the environment, the culture, and the organic growth, like the preference in terms of developing talent, investing in skills, and really giving the opportunities to our people to shine and grow is, I think, a unique selling point.
I think that is a really great way to describe it, 100%. I think the people, I think, is having the right people in a team is so important. I think having the right people alongside you, knowing that you have the right backup when you need it is so important. And I think, 100%, I agree. That's just one of the things, people definitely about Finastra. Okay, why do you think people should work here?
I think they should work for the same reasons. It's a fantastic company to work for. Come work for Finastra.
Okay. So last few questions.
Sure.
Closing questions. These are all about you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it could get deep here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so some advice that you would give to a young you?
I would say anything is possible, which has been quite true for me. So being open to change and just kind of going with the flow, because a plan is a plan, but
yeah.
you know,
yeah, yeah.
you things can happen. Never, yeah, things
yeah.
happen.
yeah.
However, I will say, don't wait for life to happen to you.
Yeah.
Take the risk. Don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah.
And just keep moving yeah. forward. That's yeah. the advice that I would give.
What is one thing you wish you knew before embarking on your journey?
I wish there was a crystal ball to exactly know how things go, but yeah. that's not the case. So I think I'll answer that a little bit differently to say, I think the one thing that I wish I knew or I would want to continue doing is don't give up.
Nice.
Not to give up, because things happen, you know, life happens. Yeah. Don't wait for life to happen to you. All the good things we've talked about on this podcast. But I would say be impatient.
Yes.
And keep pushing the bounds.
Yes, 100%. And finally, if there's one thing people should know about you, what would that be?
So my motto is leave the people and the organization in a better place than I found it. So I think the one takeaway that I will say is for people to know that I care.
Yeah.
I care about the team. I care about our customers and I care about our business.
Thank you so much, Swathi. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being on this podcast. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to the next time we talk.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you so much to Swathi for giving us a glimpse into her career, who she is, and really what makes her tick. Personally, the advice that she gives right there at the end is what stuck with me the most. Not waiting for life to happen, not giving up, and not being afraid to fail. I think we're all afraid of failing so much that we often forget that sometimes all we need is to tell ourselves to take action. So thank you for joining us for this episode of Life at Finastra. It's been a pleasure being your host. And I can't wait for you to join us in the next episode. I've been Gurren, and thanks again for listening.